I'm taking a message this morning from my pastor, Kenneth Hagin Jr. He was preaching up in Dickinson, North Dakota, not this week, but last week, and I got to go up there and be there, and it was absolutely rich. Number of different things he said and that he shared and that were just delightful. But for those of you that are like to write down titles or sermons, this one's got one, and I took it from him. And it wasn't his title, but it was something he said in the middle of his message, and it is this: are you weighing grapes or measuring giants? You know, weighing grapes or measuring giants. And I'll get to that verse of Scripture before we get done. And so praise be to God. But you know, we read this verse. I don't know how many of you kept your Bibles open to that. But I want this heart to sink into us. I desire that this truth, that this reality about God and about the way that He is, His heart for us: do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure. Everybody say good pleasure. To give us the kingdom. Does that create anything in your mind about what God must be like? And I don't know about you guys, but I know about me. And I know before I came to the Lord and after I got into the church world, you kind of picked up that there was this thinking out there that God really was not in a good mood. Am I the only one that ever ran across that, or did some others? And I was just shocked yesterday morning at men's prayer breakfast. I guess there's preachers out there preaching, saying that it's God's will and it's God's plan for this flooding in Texas. Yeah, preachers preaching it, that's God's will. What was it? Somebody that heard that, help me out, Mark. You remember, what was it those preachers were? Why was God, you know, flooding all those people? And why has He killed some 30-some people so far? What was the reason? You didn't know, but you just heard preachers talking about it. Isn't that just ridiculous? Bad day to be in Texas, I guess. I mean, but if you think about it, you know, there's people that out there, they believe that that's God. Just flooding, destroying homes, da da da. It cracks me up. It was like this one lady. It's just, a church burned down on Easter Sunday. And they interviewed people, you know, and they're standing outside and the church is burning down. And some lady just goes, well, you know, God just moves in mysterious ways. They were crediting God or blaming God for burning down that church. And I liked what Kenneth Hagin Sr. said one time. He goes, I thought God was in the business of building churches, not burning them down. Amen. But there's some mentality out there. There's some thinking out there. There's some believing about God that isn't correct. It doesn't line up. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. And read it in the context here, the provision. He wants to clothe you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to pour out the blessings of His kingdom on you. Amen? Amen. It's His pleasure. I'm just going to purpose to open up and receive and receive and receive and take in and take in. You know, think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He what? He so loved the world. It doesn't say He so hated the world that He flooded their cities. Amen? It doesn't say God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. Listen to Romans chapter 8, 31 and 32. Let this sink in. Maybe just shut your eyes and hear it. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say then of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God's what? For us. He's for us. I love that verse of Scripture in Proverbs that says, God's on my side. He takes my part. He helps those who help me. I just love that. God's on my side. God's in my corner. Did you know God is on your side? He's for you. He is not against you. What shall we say then of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And my thought, just to stick on the end of the verse, what's it matter? God's for me. Yeah, he's for me. He's on my side. What does it matter? God's for me. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? What did God do in Jesus Christ? He freely gave us all things. Will you just go ahead and freely receive it and keep on receiving and keep on receiving and keep on receiving? And I like to say this. God gives me good phrases and they're worth repeating. What have you given away that you didn't first receive? Amen. The more we will receive from God, the more of his kingdom we'll let come into our lives. The more we'll have to give to others. The more we'll have to give to others. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you still in Luke? I don't know if you are or not. I'm going to stick this in here. Notice verse 32 again in Luke. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, you ready? Notice the next verse. Sell what you have and give alms to the poor. And give alms, providing yourself with money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail. For where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. That's really rather fascinating. I'm convinced of this. The greater we understand and the greater we walk in the reality and the truth that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the quicker and the easier it is for us to give away, to sell possessions and to give away. I think it's fascinating that they're right there together in that order. Anybody else think that's cool? I think it's cool. It says something to me. The more I understand, the greater revelation I have about the fact that it is the Father's good pleasure to give me the kingdom, the freer I am to give away. Because I know what comes from the kingdom of heaven. Oh my gosh. Wow. He's more than gotten me taken care of. So for me to sell stuff and give it away, yeah. Now, does God want you to sell everything and give everything away so you're poor? How many of you know it doesn't work that way? How many of you know the Bible says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay him? I challenge you to try to outgive him. He's got more than you do. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord and the Lord will repay him. God doesn't want you to give everything away so you go into poverty because money is the root of all evil. Bible doesn't say money is the root of all evil. Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. And there's people that don't have two pennies to rub together that are committing that sin. Somebody ought to look at somebody and say, man, he's preaching good today. Because I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got one amen over here. Was that my wife? Okay. You want to see something in here? I think it's fascinating that these things are connected to each other. So there you are in Luke 12. Just go to verse 13 in Luke 12. Watch this. It'll give us some insight into this. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" So you got one guy here coming up to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, you tell my brother to divide the inheritance and give to me." See what's going on? And Jesus said, "Man, who made me arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, notice the first thing he addresses, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." You know, I've heard preachers on TV who are just using the Bible to get what they want. And I'm not talking about TV evangelists. I'm talking about, I don't want to say the guy's name because I don't like saying people's names publicly. But this guy, he ends up behind a mic lots of times on different news channels. And he'll be talking how rich people are bad and rich people are wrong and rich people, you know, are just terrible people because they don't care about the poor. And he'll quote this verse of scripture, but leaves out what subject matter Jesus addressed first. Now look at it again. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. So think about how this went. This guy comes up and he approaches Jesus and he says, Jesus, tell my brother to give to me. Me, me, me. And what does Jesus say to him? Beware of covetousness. Beware of covetousness. Okay, I'll keep reading. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he has in his possession. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater ones, and there I will store all of my crops for many and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods and laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then who will these things be in which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Jump down here to verse 33. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves. How is it that we are to be rich towards God? It's getting awful quiet in this place, man. How is it that we're rich towards God? Given to the needy. Given to people who are in a tough place. And is it required of us to get rid of everything that we have in order to do that? No. Is there anything wrong with people being blessed? Is there anything wrong? You know, just think of that verse of scripture. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does Jesus say the result of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be? All these things will be added unto you. So it can't be wrong, it can't be against the Father's will then for all these things to be added unto you, can it? If the result of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness is all these things being given to you, it is not wrong to receive, is it? Amen. How many receivers we got here today? Amen. How many are you taking in? Do you know your receiving is absolutely vital to your walking in victory and expanding the kingdom of God here on this earth? Do you know what's vital? Do we realize that we play a pivotal role? We play a unique part. Oh, I wish I had that picture. I wish I had that picture. Actually, I do. I wish I had it on the screen. All of our children are back, our five children. And my sister Monique invited all of us, plus my sister Yadviga, and then my brother Adam was there, and my sister Monique was there. And Viga and several of her kids were there. And we're up at Crazy Horse. And we kind of have a birthday dinner because there's so many birthdays in the month of August. And we're up there. It was really fun. It was really delightful. And then a picture was taken. And everybody, except for one person in that photo, is a Christian. You can back up 35 years. And for the most part, nobody was a Christian. But one person got born again. One person received of the kingdom of heaven. One person received of the things of God. And that one person can't really take credit because there were people all around the world praying for that person.
But here we are 35 years later, and a photo with about 20-some people in it are all Christians. Because of one person who was prayed for by a lot of people, received. And then all these lives are impacted and changed, and they are part of the family of God because of that. What if that one person hadn't received? How vital is it for us to receive and to keep receiving? Now, I'm so thankful. I sit back there and I see Marge. And last Sunday, got to go up to Rapid City and to share passages again. And thank you to all of the people who provided side dishes and desserts and everything for that. It is absolutely a wonderful time. Marge received from God. Brian would back it up several years ago when Marge became a Christian, and how now they're together and married, and how God is working and the things that are going on in lives personally. But then just through the ministry of Passages, and I was so excited because when Passages first got started here in the Black Hills area, I knew one day I would hear testimony from ladies who had gone through Passages. And last Sunday when I was up there, Marge, it was the funnest time of ministry I've ever had there, because people were so receptive and they were so drinking in of the life of God and the things of God and the Word of God. And there was this one lady who came in late. She was a taller lady. And she was obviously known by everybody there. I didn't know her. And then afterwards, I got to talk to her, and her name was Hope. And Hope glowed. Hope was lit up with the love of God. She was lit up with the life of God flowing through her. And she was that testimony I was looking for. Because she went through Passages. And you can see God all over her. You can see the love of God just pouring out of her. And here I'm hearing a testimony I knew I would get to 4 years before. And I guess she said just about every week she stops in and visits with Marge. Because she is so grateful and she is so thankful for that program. How grateful we are for people who receive from God, even though we don't deserve it. But the intent of the receiving isn't to be selfish and to have more for ourselves. The intent of receiving is have more to give away. Amen? And if people want to call me selfish because I receive from God, they're free too. But God knows my heart. Does he know your heart? Does he know the intent of your heart? Does he know why you want to receive? Does he know why you want to take possession of what he's given you, of the blessings that he has for you? If he knows the intent of your heart, it's all good. And guess what? He knows. And when your intent is to receive so you can give, praise God. Amen. Amen. You're in a good place. Keep right on going. Keep right on going. Amen. Hallelujah. You know the Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians. Yeah, I got this one right here too. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy. Everybody say rich. He's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loves us. Why is God rich in mercy? What causes God to be rich in mercy? The great love with which he loves us. You could turn that verse around, scripture around, and say, you could say this, because of the great love that God has for us, he's rich in mercy to us. Amen? I like to just say this. None of my sins, none of my mistakes, none of your sins, none of your mistakes, none of your mess-ups are greater than the love of God. Isn't that cool? See, but the enemy would love to convince us that we've messed up so bad, our mess up is bigger and more powerful and stops God from loving us. You know what? God loves you. Why don't you turn around and look at somebody and say, God loves you and he's for you. He's on your side, man. Hallelujah. You know, I think about that little phrase, God's in my corner. And I think about a boxing ring. God's in my corner. He's got my back. He's in my corner, man. And I'm in a fight. How many of you know this fits for the world we live in today? But God's in my corner. The ding, the bell sounds, and I go sit down. You know what God's going to start doing? He's going to talk to me. Get your left up. Get your left up. Get my word in your mouth. Get my word in my mouth. In your mouth. Get my word. Start saying my word. Get your word in. And he's in my corner. He's going to start giving me instruction.
And then the bell rings again and got to get back out there. Your 10 minutes of break are up and you're going, I have a choice. I can either listen to the instruction that God has given me. I can receive from him and be better able to walk in victory in that ring, or I can ignore what he says. Amen. Turn and look at someone and say, yep, he's talking to you today. Amen. You guys are taken in, aren't you? Amen. Because God's got stuff to give you. Hallelujah. I got to keep reading. But God, who is rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Think about that. Even when we were dead in our trespasses. Even when we were dead, guilty, dead in our trespasses. What did God do? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh man, God loves you. God loves you. Amen. All right, take your Bible. Take your Bible and open up to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. You want to be measuring grapes? You want to be weighing grapes or measuring giants? And I'd like two men to help me here in just a little bit. So if you'll think about it, this is an easy one. It's not a hard one at all. And I'm not going to put you on the spot or some trick or anything like that. And that's not going to happen. So if I can, you know, there's two men in a little bit that'll be ready to help. That'd be awesome. Numbers chapter 13. I want to start verse 13, but a little bit of background. This is where the first verse in this chapter, God says he wants to send out the 12 spies into the promised land that he's giving to the children of Israel. Amen. What's God doing? He's giving them the land. He's giving them the land. Everybody say, giving them the land. Amen. He's giving them the land. Amen. He's giving them the land. So that's what God's doing. And Moses sends out these 12 spies. And then these 12 spies, they come back. And we're going to pick up reading at verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Ishcol. That's as close as I get. And they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranate. Granates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Ishcol because of the cluster which the men of the Israel cut down there. And they returned once from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell there in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Okay, now, how many of you can picture what's happening here? What's going on? Verse 30 gives us a clue. Then Caleb quieted the people. So what started happening here?